The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Here we are for our weekly visit. We call it the UAB Director's Chair because it's the athletic director of your UAB Blazers. He's Mark Ingram. Mark, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Tony. Thanks for having me again.
Fantastic to have you on weekly. It's one of our most listened to podcasts that UAB Blazer Nation gets after it. They retweet it. Of course, you can hear it everywhere you get your podcast, anywhere you go. Tony Curry Radio Podcast. Tony Curry Radio Podcast. Curry with a K. And we're on every major industry out there. Get it. Put it back out there. And we love this show because, we talk about UAB athletics. And we'll talk about the hoops. Great win on Monday. And, of course, the football program getting ready for their last home game, should I say, coming up on Saturday. But also other things that go on in sports, so we'll get right into it. I was at that basketball game on Monday. UAB laid 111 points on Alabama State. They were 7 points shy of setting their all-time scoring record, which was also, I believe, against Alabama State at 118. And I just felt a vibe down at Bartow Arena that I hadn't felt in a long period of time. It was a super loud crowd. People were really into it. And I saw that at the last football game I was at. Unfortunately, it was that double overtime loss against UTSA. And despite the fact that it was a smaller crowd because it rained all day, man, the people that were there were more vocal than I'd ever seen the UAB Blazer Nation. So with that being said, I thought to myself, how do you change as an athletic director? How do you change the culture of a program? Obviously, wins will do that. Brand new stadium certainly help. But internally, as an athletic director, how do you eventually start to change the culture of not only a program, of a sport, but of the entire athletic department?
Well, there's a lot there, Tony. Yeah. I mean, first of all, yeah, you're right. Our team looks terrific. I'm really excited about Andy Kennedy and the job he's doing and the team he's brought in. We had a great crowd Monday, as you indicated. Larger than any game one crowd that we've had in years. And in fact, we had more students at that game than we had at any other individual game last season.
Wow.
So we had a great, great student turnout. So we're excited about building on that and continuing to get closer to a sellout at Bartow Arena, because boy, what a difference even just, you know, call it 500 or 1,000 more people can do in there. The noise level gets really high, and it's a ton of fun and a lot of energy, as you indicated. This word culture, is a bit overused, I think, by some. And so you have to ask people to define it. Well, what do you, you know, when I'm interviewing coaches, they'll talk about this a lot. What's made you so successful? Our culture. What do you mean by that? What is your culture? And it's about, I think, demonstrating that you really care about people, that you care about their success. So as a coach, showing those players and their staff that they care about them as people and those people being successful. For me, it's the same way. I've got an open door policy, and I don't just mean that you can come see me. I mean, my door never closes, and you can come see me anytime. And if you want to talk about your career, you want to talk about, if you'd like career advice, maybe you've seen a job that's out there that's really exciting to you. I have no problem with that. If people have done well for us and have worked hard and helped us be better, I want them to do whatever it is that makes them happy. We don't want to lose them, but if they're happier or they think they've got an opportunity to grow and do more for their families from an income perspective, I'm excited for them and really happy to help them. I'll call on their behalf and that sort of thing. And I think that over time, people really appreciate that. We even do a little seminar. We have once every year a little conversation with all of our assistant coaches from all sports. That it's voluntary; they don't have to attend. But the topic is, so you want to be a head coach, mm-hmm. And then I do this with all of our administrative staff. So you think you want to be the AD? That's the title, and we just talk about, well, what are you doing to prepare yourself for that? What do you think is entailed in that? And I talk about questions that I got asked when I was interviewed for this job and other jobs that I did not get. I talk about interview questions with our coaches. Here's what you're going to be asked about. And do you have experience? Can you talk about recruiting? Can you talk about budgeting? Are you involved in the budget? Do you make travel logistic plans? How do you do that? And coming back to the budget, how do you do that and manage the budget? You know, some of these things that they just haven't considered before. And hopefully they find that beneficial, gives them some things to think about. We talk about what they're wearing. You know, if you're going to come interview here, what are you going to wear to the interview? You know, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. I mean, I've interviewed people who show up in a t-shirt. That's not a joke. And you think, what on earth? And they did. They
showed I'm sorry
up.
I ever did that.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to name your name, Tony, but you outed yourself. But it's shocking. You know, and they'll say, well, you know, I was with our team and we were practicing and whatever. I'm like, yeah, man, but you're interviewing for a job.
Yeah.
You know, so talking that through with people, if it's a job you want, you've got to, you know, be prepared and be thoughtful about that. So you asked about culture, and I just think that if you care about people, they really believe that you care about them, they work harder for you. And here at UAB, we've got to do a little bit more with less.
Yeah,
and
that's
not just less money, but less people, and try to achieve the same goals. We have the same goals as Texas and Ohio State and anybody else. We want to win the championship, whatever that championship is. And so then that's the other thing we talk about, Tony. We've got three core values that we tell our student athletes. We tell them every chance we get, we put it on t-shirts that we give them. They know, because it's simple, and our three core values are win championships, graduate with honors, and make a difference. And it's brief, it's simple, and it's easy to remember. And I'll tell them when we recruit them, I'll tell them this. And I'll say, you know, when you come here, I don't know if you realize it, but winning is not the goal. And of course, your coaches and your student athletes will look at you a little, you know, strange. What do you mean? How could that be possible? And I say, no, winning is not the goal. I say, we recruited you because you're good.
Yeah.
We expect to win. Winning is the expectation, not the goal. Winning a championship is the goal.
Yeah.
So we expect you to win. That's why we recruited you. And then we talk about graduating with honors. I'll say, you know, just like winning a championship, a lot of people go to college. I was this way. I was terrified when I went to college. I was, you know, this is a big place. Am I smart enough to do this? It's overwhelming. You're away from home. You don't know anybody. It's a difficult time, particularly in that freshman to sophomore year period before you really get your feet wet. And some people adjust faster than others, but it's still a difficult transition. And we say, listen, a lot of you question, could you graduate? And we put enough resources and staff and people in place, tutors. We have tutors in every subject that you might need. If you'll go to class and do your assignments and work with our academic staff, you're going to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So graduation is also not the goal.
Yeah.
Let's stretch ourselves just like a championship, and let's graduate with honors. Let's do something we didn't think we could do.
There you go. UAB Athletic Director Mark Ingram joins us here every single week. This is called the UAB Director's Chair. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We got a couple emails we'll get to in just a few seconds. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. I think there's this feeling, this perception that if you throw money at a situation, it will make it better. And in some cases, it will. But to your point, I'm standing outside Bartow Arena in the will call window waiting to get my tickets, and I was about five or six deep. And I had several people with UAB shirts come up to me and ask me what my name was, went back in the office, came out and handed my tickets so I didn't have to wait an extra 15 or 20 minutes. That's the kind of service that I absolutely love with the program. And you talked about doing more with less. I think your coaches, and Bill Clark was great at this, and I think Andy is too, they're willing to press the flesh and shake hands. And I quite frankly, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. You do the same thing. I mean, you're at every game I've ever been to. You're shaking hands with boosters and with alum, and you're shaking hands with fans. You met a couple of my friends at the basketball game on Monday night, and I applaud your efforts for that. And don't stop doing that, because it is a grassroots culture is a grassroots situation. You have to press the flesh, right?
Yeah, and I think we make a mistake if we think people are just going to automatically show up.
Yeah.
They're not just going to automatically show up, and people can be anywhere they want to be on a Monday night or a Wednesday night or a Saturday afternoon. There's a lot of options in Birmingham, Alabama, a lot of good things going on here and a lot of other places to be. And frankly, from your long work week, maybe that place to be is just sitting on your couch and taking a breath, mm-hmm. You know, and so I always try to make a point to thank people. You know, I don't thank every single person that walks out of the door, but when somebody walks by me, if I make eye contact with them, you'll see, hey, thanks for coming. Because yep. They don't have to be there. We make such a mistake, and I know from my past experience at other places that have larger stadiums that are in conferences where they are used to selling out. It's easy to fall into that trap that you just think everybody, you're just going to roll the ball out on the floor are onto the field and they're just going to show up. Everybody's just going to magically appear, and there's going to be, you know, 100,000 people or whatever at your stadium, and this is just going to happen every week, not to worry. That's not true.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure that people appreciate, or that they know you appreciate their time.
An SEC football coach is in hot water because of a social media post. Go figure. We just haven't learned yet. We'll talk about that with Mark Ingram here in just a minute here, the UAB director's chair. You can find it on any major indice out there, anything. We're on every podcast platform out there, Tony Curry Radio Podcast. You can also hear the show on the TKR app. Download TKR through, of course, Apple or Tony Curry Radio on Android. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We have a couple of email questions here. Kim in Birmingham listened to the show last week. She's super excited about UAB getting into the AAC next year. She wants to know, what kind of TV deal does UAB have with the AAC, and is it better than Conference USA?
Well, you know, when you're a member of a conference, you're aligned with their television contract. So the contract for the American Athletic Conference is exclusive with ESPN. So we'll be on all the ESPN platforms next year, and are excited about that. And feel like that's going to have us in more homes and a little more easy to access, particularly for when we're on the road or for fans who now live, you know, too far to get to Birmingham, right? If you live in California, it'll be easier to watch the Blazers.
No one likes a David and Goliath story better than I do. And I know we talked a couple nights ago about the UAB LSU matchup. Before the season, maybe UAB has a shot. Obviously some injuries, and Dwayne McBride's had a fantastic year. Zeno's getting better. Now that ball game looms large here in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. Your thoughts on what UAB can do with LSU and just how big it would be? Hell, they beat him before at LSU. It was years ago, but why not now?
Yeah, and Tony, I still believe in our team. Yeah. I still believe that we're the most talented roster in Conference USA. I believe that. We've had some really unfortunate things happen in our losses, all of which we could control. I don't feel like anybody has beaten us. We've beaten ourselves five times. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do, but I believe in our players. I believe in the coaching staff. I know that we're capable of beating everybody. You know, LSU has really done a remarkable job. I remember watching them at the beginning of the year, and they were trying to kind of figure out their identity. And, boy, they sure have found it. And good for them, and great for Coach Kelly and his staff. But, you know, I really feel like we're capable. I really feel like we're capable of beating anybody. I thought that at the beginning of the year, and I still feel like that now.
Dwayne McBride's second right now in all of college football. He's, I think, about 70 or 80 yards back in one less game. So he's got a chance to win the college football rushing championship, which would be super, super cool. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. This is the UAB director's chair with Mark Ingram, the athletic director. And, yeah, we talk about UAB athletics, but we also talk about other sports and other things as well. I don't know if you saw this story. Vanderbilt defensive backs coach Dan Jackson will, quote, unquote, step back from the program after defending Kanye West, or Yee, as he's known, in a post. And this is on the heels, obviously, the Kyrie Irving debacle that happened over the last couple of weeks, his anti-Semitic support of a document. What do you tell your, first of all, your coaches? What do your coaches tell your kids? Everybody wants to be a star. Everyone wants followers. Obviously, when you're an athlete, you should have 10 or 15 or 20,000 people following you. I'd imagine Jelly Walker, if he's got a Twitter account, I bet he's got 100,000 followers. He should. But what do you tell your teams about social media and how important it is to make sure you look before you tap?
Yeah, we do a lot of continuing education with our student athletes, and it could be career fairs, financial literacy, and yes, social media training, which is valuable to everybody, not just our student athletes. And we've brought people in before, but we can't do all of it all the time, right? So every sort of other year, we rotate these around to make sure that we're trying to cover everybody, but not take up all their free time. These are voluntary things that they attend, but really important. And the last one that we had, I remember this PR professional, she took photos and put it in a PowerPoint slide. She just took images from UAB. She said, I just Googled UAB Instagram, UAB Twitter, and she said, let me show you some images that popped up. And so she starts showing, you know, what do you think's happening here? And our student athletes are all there, and they're laughing. They're sort of gasping at what they're seeing. And
yeah.
And it's like this, Tony. The sad thing is, you come over to my house, and we're watching a game, and you're on the couch, and you fall asleep.
Yeah.
Because, you know, somebody takes a picture of you and says that you passed out drunk on the couch. You haven't had anything to drink, but nobody knows that.
Yeah.
And so what this person pointed out is, you guys think you're funny because you're just doing something funny in the moment with your friend, but now that lives out there forever and ever.
Yeah.
And so now this person's going to try to get a job. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about how careful they need to be, but boy, it's hard. It's hard to be careful. We're all emotional people. We're all human beings. People get their character attacked, or somebody on social media who thinks they're really tough, you know, wants to talk big, and, you know, hides behind some fake Twitter, you know, some fake name on Twitter. You know, those are all the biggest, toughest. Those people are all 10 feet tall if you don't know it.
Mm-hmm. And
then they attack you in a moment, and you have a weak moment. You write something back that you wish you could take back. We're no longer allowed to do that.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
You're no longer allowed to say, hey, you know what, upon further reflection, I apologize, wish I had not said that.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I fell asleep on your couch, too. And
yeah, it's okay. I don't mind. I hope you slept well.
I don't drink anymore, so I was good.
Yeah, right. But you get the point is yes, we have these conversations with our student-athletes. It's never perfect, but it's an important lesson for everybody is you got to just be so careful with everything that you say. It's hard.
You know, I think it's really interesting, too, just a little bit of advice here for people that are on Twitter and Instagram as well as on TikTok and Facebook. I had a woman who followed me yesterday, and usually when someone follows me, I will follow them back. That's just kind of common courtesy. And she was an advocate for deaf and blind people. And I thought, well, this is a great follow here. So I followed her, and then I went back and started looking at some of her posts, and I was like, good Lord almighty. I mean, she was saying some things that I would have never thought to even put out. And so I unfollowed her. That just goes to show. I mean, I think a lot of people want to retweet or repost post, obviously with a lot of followers and with a lot of catches, because obviously it makes their feed look good. But if you don't go and look at everything that people are saying, you got to be super careful. And really, you got to read your room, right? I mean, if you're a guy that's living in a mobile home in Aniana and you don't really don't give a rat's ass, that's fine. But when you're a basketball player or a coach, and you're supporting a brand, regardless of what that is, we've seen it with other people's jobs where people get fired from their jobs because of things they repost, it can come back and bite you big time. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. This .net, should I say. This is the UAB director's chair with Mark Ingram. He's the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. So 50 years ago this week, Mark, HBO launched in 365 homes. I remember getting that big black box sitting by my dad's table. Do you remember getting your first cable
box?
It was
so exciting. I did, yeah, because my friend, I didn't have it. My friend had it. I was so excited to watch this gigantic television set with the tube on the backside of it. It sat on the ground. Remember, it was like a big console. It was a piece of furniture.
Uh-huh.
It sat there, and then that box you're talking about. It was thrilling, and that I can still see that spinning HBO logo coming at you when a movie was coming on, and you didn't know what it was going to be, and it was just so exciting. What could it be? We're going to get to watch a movie in the house. Oh, this is incredible.
I know. I remember the first time my dad caught me at 1:30 in the morning watching nudity. I could not believe there was nudity in our house on my television. I just could not believe it. It was amazing. And obviously now it seems like it's on every single channel. Also this past week, and I know you're a rock and roller, we had the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Judas Priest got in. Carly Simon got in. Lionel Richie got in. Dolly Parton got in to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And let's just go ahead and put this as poo-poo this right now. You don't have to be a rock artist to get the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Duran Duran got in. But Dolly Parton just announced earlier this week that she wants to do a rock album. Since she's now in the Rock Hall of Fame, she wants to do a rock album. And she's mentioned that Steve Perry will sing with her on several songs. First of all, give me some rock and roll guys that you would love Dolly Parton to work with. And second of all, what's your thoughts on Dolly Parton being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, Dolly has the greatest Christmas song ever,
mm-hmm.
which of course is Hard Candy
Christmas.
Yes, yes. Right, which
I
of
love
course
that
is
song.
Hard Candy.
And you never hear
it. Everybody knows this. I always ask people around the holidays, I say, what do you think is the number one Christmas song of all time? And, you know, they'll say Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman. I'm like, no, it's Hard Candy Christmas.
It's,
what are you
awesome.
Talking about?
And you never hear it. You never hear that song. It's great, unless you're in Tennessee.
You know, yeah. Blue Christmas, and these are great, but Hard Candy is as good as it gets. Oh boy, who else could we put Dolly? Could we put Dolly with like James Hetfield from Metallica? Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, absolutely.
We'll get Lars Ulrich playing drums in the background, or Alex Van Halen, and
Rob Halford was there with Judas Priest. I mean, she could do something with you. I mean, she's willing to stretch her legs. She's willing to get out there. Why not do a Judas Priest tune?
Why not? Why not? I think it's all good. Anything with Dolly's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And everything with you is good, too. Hey, thank you so much for your time this week. We'll catch up with you again next week. A big ball game against the Mean Green coming up on Saturday. Get your tickets. And, of course, the basketball program is well underway as well. Nice first win there for Andy Kennedy's bunch. We thank you for your time, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Thank you, John. Hey, man, listen, all your listeners, come out and support these kids. 2:30 on Saturday against North Texas. It's senior day. We want to send these guys out right. It's a big day and a great opportunity to get a win and get closer to bowl eligibility. So thanks in advance to all the Blazer fans out there.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.